You brought up the name of Carl Elbert.
Yes, sir.
Let's first of all talk about the person of Carl Elbert. Tell us about him.
Tremendous man. A great role model as far as his work and his vision. He became the Speaker of the United States. He was the number one congressman.
He was the U.S. House Speaker.
Yes, he was. Bright, very bright. A Rhodes Scholar.
And a short man.
Yes, he was.
I understand. He stood 5'4".
Yeah, 5'4", and I still remember he kind of gave a commencement address in my little hometown of Bennington. Not my senior year, but my eighth grade, I think. He came there. And I remember one of the things he said, a little joke he kind of said on himself. In the speech, he said, one of the students came out, and all gushing, just, that's a brilliant speech, Mr. Speaker, it's wonderful, etc. Speaker Albert said, you know, I thought, wow, what did I say that turned this guy on? He asked him, what did I say to you, young man? He said, well, sir, it wasn't what you said, but I figured if a little short guy like you could become Speaker of the United States House, that I have a chance of being president. Great respect I have for him. Even though he wasn't for me when I ran for Congress.
Well, you do kind of have a love, not hate, but you were in odds with him, and we'll talk about that. Yeah. Your first foray into politics, of course, you saw him and knew him and all that. Did that plant another seed that, man, I'm around Carl Elbert, and I would like to do what he does?
No, actually, when I came down to try and make a decision what I was going to do about the economic growth in Southeast Oklahoma, building of jobs and all, I had to think, I've got to have an area big enough to work. I got to have more than just, say, like one county, et cetera. So I thought, well, what kind of territory? And I thought, well, it's just logical. Look at maybe Congress. He had 25 counties in the deep southeast, went over to Ardmore in that area, and came up to actually Lincoln County, Chandler and Langston, Logan County, Guthrie area. He had that. Didn't have Payne County, but he had those. So I thought the logical thing was maybe look at Congress. Had never thought about the state senate, but I was in the home building business, as I mentioned there, and I got sued on a fraudulent workers' comp case, and I found there was a terrible situation in the workers' comp. I had Bible study in my business in Ada, Oklahoma. That was after I had gone out to Chickasha for 1 year. After I set up the operation home building, we set up land development to try to have lots and things like that set up. I agreed to come out there with Mr. Perdue for 1 year to set up that phase. Then I moved to Ada, back into the 3rd Congressional District, because that's where I could build homes, have a big market area out of Ada. One thing I started doing is having Bible study for my employees. We met at least one morning a week, giving young men one last chance before they were sent to maybe prison. I was working with the minister and the judge. Probably touched some of them, but a lot of them I lost. Many of them approached me sometime later. But I found out another thing. There was a need to try to help some of the convicts get back in society. So in the home building business, I had met with a lady there and her young daughter, about 5 years old, redheaded. I can still see that little girl. Her daddy was in prison, and he was to get out. But he needed a job. So I hired the man. He was a draftsman. I had a draftsman, one and maybe half time on another one. So I didn't have room for him as a draftsman. But I said to him, Johnny, if you'll work on the paint crew, use one arm, paint. Why I say that, his one arm, his one arm draftsman. I said, Johnny, if you'll work as a painter, I'll put you on the paint crew. Okay. About 10 days later, downtown Ada, he went down and hired a lawyer and sued me on a workers' comp case.
Over what?
Bad back. That's what he said. But I found out later he had done that some other times. One of the lawyers that helped him was going to run for state senate. You may remember George Miller, State Senator George Miller, Channel 10. He was a state senator. He had resigned right in the middle of his term to become the number two guy for Lord Rader in the Department of Human Services. Well, that seat was vacant with the state senate. I'd never thought about the state senate. Like I say, I was looking at a bigger picture, but went and talked to my banker, talked to the concrete guys, the lumbermen, all the people I was in contact with, asked them about getting somebody, let's get somebody to run for state senate. Conclusion, well, Wes, you got more interest in this than we do. Why don't you run? I'd only lived there about a year and a half. You know, I thought, I can't do this. But before I let this attorney, this lawyer, run and just walk in there, Lou and I, my wife and I, talked about it, and I said, well, I'll run. If I'd lost, probably it'd been it. I guess I'd been out of politics. But we won. We won. And as a result, I went to the state senate. I was in the home building business and continued to do that. But then I thought, well, I'm going to get out of politics because I can't make a living in the state senate. Now, that was a turning point because I thought, well, I'm going to get out and not run again. And I'll be dang on June 5th, 1976, Carl Howard announced he was not going to seek reelection.
After 30 years.
After 30 years. And we didn't look back. The party leaders were against us. But through the FFA days, through the home building, through all the others, we put together, I think, the greatest campaign I've ever been associated with.
Who were you running against?
I was running against a great guy, Carl Albert's chief of staff, Charlie Ward, a good man, lived in Tulsa for a while, very active in the Methodist Church. We had also Hemp Baker, corporation commissioner, Gary Payne, a state representative, and Marvin Andrews, who had run two or three times, kind of a rancher, perennial candidate.
All those people were running for the job, and then Carl Albert supported Charlie Ward,
that's
endorsed
correct.
Him.
Yeah.
So your odds of winning are not very great.
Well, that's what all the pros were saying. You know, all the political pundits were saying, hey, Carl Albert's the man. In fact, one of the things that Time reporters asked me, Wes, are you taking any of that Washington, D.C. money? Because it's known as kind of dark money. And I said, no, I'm not. Well, I didn't just tell the whole truth. I wasn't even offered any money out of Washington, D.C., because Carl Albert had it all shut off. He had it all for Charlie Ward.
Wow.
But that year, we received more donations than any other member running for Congress. But there were small gifts.
Unbeknownst to you, you were laying the ground through your home building and all that and the contacts you made with all those people. They got to know who you were.
Yeah. I had no idea when I was state FFA president that was going to lead me that direction. Through OSU here, I was president of the Ag School, Blue Key, honorary leadership stuff and all that, multitude of those organizations. But I didn't know that was preparing me to go into politics until that fellow asked me that question.
Obviously, you're a Democrat, running as a Democrat. Carl Albert was a Democrat. Tell me how the primary turned out.
Like I say, all news people, everybody wasn't giving us much chance to do anything. Well, in the primary, we came out leading with a 10,000-vote lead and in a runoff with Charlie Ward. Now, I cannot explain the electricity that went through the body of people throughout the Southeast. It was at that time the people realized I could win. And the electricity and momentum was going so strong, we came out of the runoff with 63% of the vote, with about a 30,000-vote lead. And then we won the general election with over 100,000 vote margin.
Had Carl Albert lost some of his influence? He'd been there so long, 30 years. You would have thought that no matter who Carl Albert endorses, that person would have won.
That's what most people thought.
Were they getting tired of him?
Well, I don't know if they were getting tired of him. I think he had become a little more liberal because he was working up the ladder to be the leader in the United States Congress. That became his key constituency, and they were really giving him fits up there in the Watergate time period. He went to my little hometown of Bennington, as I mentioned, about 250 people campaigning for Charlie. So he got heavily involved in that race. I think that people decided they wanted their person.
He'd become a Washington person, apparently.
I think some people thought that, you know, felt like that. I always liked Carl Albert very much, and I understood why he had to be so active for Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward worked for him about 17 years, so it was a natural thing.
But then when you won the primary, Carl Albert endorsed you.
Yes, he said he'd be for me, yeah.
Did he work for you?
I didn't ask him to because I didn't want him to be uneasy about or awkward about the whole thing. But I did go to every one of the people that I knew had been active for Carl Albert in trying to help Charlie. Whether it's a banker in Elmore City or wherever it may be, I went to them and asked them personally for their help. Most of them were uneasy and said, hey, all I ask you to do is if you can be as loyal to me as you have been to Carl Albert. And what happened after that, I didn't have an opponent. The next election, I didn't have a Democrat or Republican or independent anybody run against me because I'd gone to all the people, try and let them know I was wanting to be their congressman and work for them.
You were reelected 6 times by close to 80% of the vote. Unheard of. Unheard of. I'm going to say this, and you're not going to say yay or nay, but if Carl Albert were running again, it's a possibility you could have defeated him.
That's what a lot of people said.
Right.
A lot of people told me that.
This giant from Little Dixie, it's amazing that you overcame his support of Charlie Ward and won that. I mean, the headlines had to be blazing.
It was a very humbling situation. And what makes me feel is great and humble, my last election, after being a Democrat, an independent, and Republican, I never lost the 3rd District of Oklahoma. But my last election, I got over 87% of the vote, nearly 88. I gave them a lot of reason not to be for me, but they knew that I was sincere about what I was trying to do.
And then you didn't seek an 8th term in 1990.